بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Allah and thank Him for all the blessings that He endowed upon us. Without Allah being obligated to give anything, I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, the final and the choicest prophet, and to protect his followers from whatever he feared for them. We said that during the caliphate of our master Umar radiallahu anhu, the Muslims went into the Persian lands and started controlling parts of this land, gradually enlarging, expanding their campaigns. And the Persians tasted a very bitter defeat in the Battle of Al-Qadisiyah, where the Muslims were under the command of the great companion Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu. And we said that the Muslims also fought in the area of Syria, in Marj al-Rum. They fought the Romans, and also they managed to defeat them and have more of the lands that was under the control of the Romans. The people in that area had peace treaty with the Muslims, paid jizya, and they were under their protection. During the year 16, the two cities of Al-Kufa and Al-Basra in Iraq were established, were built. Also, Cairo, the area in Egypt, was opened to the Muslim, although it was under the Roman control before. And in the year 21 Hijri, Alexandria, another area in Egypt, was opened by force. We reached to the point that we said a battle was about to take place with the Persians in the area called Nahawand. And the great companion An-Nu'man ibn al-Muqarrin was the commander in this battle against the Persians. After that battle, the battle of Nahawand, the Persians could not gather enough forces to fight the Muslims. So let's start talking about this battle, the battle of Nahawand. Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu anhu sent this companion An-Nu'man ibn al-Muqarrin a message. He sent him a message. He said to him, "It reached me that the Persians have gathered a large army in Nahawand." And this area, Nahawand, was an area in Iran nowadays, was under the Persian control. He told him, "When you receive my message, with the help of Allah, march towards them with the Muslims that you have. So they will not be harmed. Do not take them through a route that is rough, so that your followers or Muslim soldiers would not be harmed. I'm telling you to take them to march towards the enemy through a route that is not rough. He said, do not take them through a bushy area because that is dangerous. One alive Muslim man is better to me than earning 100,000 golden dinars. One alive Muslim man is better to me than earning 100,000 golden dinars. And then he said, Assalamu alaikum. So this is a letter from the caliph to the commander of the forces, An-Nu'man ibn al-Muqarrin, showing Umar's care about the Muslims who are being sent to fight the enemy, risking their lives, that there is no need to let them go through unnecessary risks. He's telling the commander of the army, you have to be careful about them. I don't want any lives lost unnecessarily. One Muslim who is alive is better for me than having 100,000 golden dinars. And Nu'man marched with his army, which included some of the Prophet's companions. When the Muslims arrived at the front of the Persian enemy, they saw that these Persians had put down a large number of metal spikes. When An-Nu'man saw this, he consulted with the Muslims. They said, why do you not pretend to be running away? They would chase us, and then we will turn and fight them. When the Muslims did this, means they came and played the role that they don't want to fight, and they retreated. The Persians chased them. When they did this, the enemy removed those spikes to chase the Muslims. And Nu'man kept running until he got the Persians far away from the spikes. Then he turned and fought them. This happened on a Friday, means a day of Jumu'ah prayer. And Nu'man said, I will say, means he's addressing his soldiers, I will say Allahu Akbar 3 times. I will say Allahu Akbar 3 times. When I say the first time, means when I say Allahu Akbar the first time, look at your shoes to see if your laces are loose. Means you look at your shoes. If they need to be tied, then you tie them. You don't want to tie your shoes during the battle. Tighten them and fix yourselves. When I say it again, the second time, when I say Allahu Akbar, the second time, look at your clothes. See if your izar, you know, the waistcloth, is tight enough. And let everyone prepare himself in his direction of attack. So everybody be prepared. When I say it the third time, I will charge the enemy at the front. And you charge too. If I get killed, your commander will be Hudayfa ibn al-Yaman, a companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam. If Hudayfa is killed, then your commander will be Jarir ibn Abdullah, another companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Both were brave companions, radiyallahu anhuma. Now, a digression just to tell you who these two men are or were. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman is famous as the carrier of the Prophet's secret. Aminu sirri Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam had received revelation of the names of the hypocrites and disclosed to Hudhayfa the names of some of those hypocrites. If you remember some time a while ago when we were talking about the community of Al-Madina during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we said there were the Muslims, the immigrants from Mecca, and the residents Al-Ansar of Al-Madina. And there were Jews around Al-Madina. And also within Al-Madina, there were hypocrites. There were people who claimed themselves to be Muslim outwardly, but inwardly they hated Islam, they were not Muslim. And they were led by Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul at the time. So Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman was a companion of the Prophet, was a young man. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam received from Allah the names of some of the hypocrites who were in Al-Madinah. And the Prophet revealed to Hudhayfa, told Hudhayfa, the names of some of these hypocrites, not all of them. So he was known among the companions, Aminu Sirri Rasulillah, that he is the carrier of the Prophet's secret. He knew who the hypocrites were. So Umar knew of that, and he would look at Hudhayfa. If someone was leading the prayer and Hudhayfa would not stand behind him, would not pray, behind him, Umar would not pray behind that person. He would just conclude that, okay, he must be one of those hypocrites. Umar radiallahu anh appointed Hudhayfa as the governor of Madain. What is Madain? If you remember, it was the capital of the Persians, and the Muslims occupied it. So Umar radiallahu anh appointed this great companion Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman the governor of Madain. And Hudhayfa retained that office, that role, until the year 36 Hijri. So from the 20s to the 36. And this was during the caliphate of Ali radiallahu anhu. In the books of Sahih, means the book of Bukhari and the book of Muslim, the hadith that are compiled with the top levels of authenticity, there are many hadiths narrated from the route of Hudhayfa. Means you'll find many hadith عن حذيفة بن اليمان عن رسول الله. So Hudhayfa would narrate what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said. One of those hadith is the following. Hudhayfa رضي الله عنه said, this hadith is narrated in the Sahih of Imam Muslim رضي الله عنه. He said, people asked the Prophet about good matters, but I asked him about evil ones, lest, means for fear of, I would be hit by them. And as Sahaba, الناس كانوا يسألون الرسول عن الخير وأسأله عن الشر مخافة أن أقع فيه. I said, O Messenger of Allah, Ya Rasul Allah, we used to be living in ignorance, كنا في جاهلية. And then Allah blessed us with this, with Islam. Allah blessed us with this. Will there be evil after this? Alhamdulillah, now we are living in a great blessing. We are Muslim. Things are getting better. More people getting into Islam. So things are good. Will there be after this goodness any evil? Will it get worse? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes. I asked, Hudhayfa said, will there be good after that evil? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes. However, there will be something in it, in this goodness, that makes it impure. وَفِيهَا دَخَنْ الرَّسُولُ قَالْ I asked, what is it that makes it, makes this good impure? The Prophet said, عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ the hearts of the people will not be as pure with each other as they are now. The hearts of the people will not be as pure with each other as they are now. People would emerge who would follow other than my sunnah. Consequently, you take some of their way and reject some. It means, yes, there will be goodness, then evil, then goodness. That goodness, however, that follows that evil is going to have some impurity in it. It's not going to be pure good. And the reason was that the hearts of people would not be at that time as pure as they were at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that there will people who will diverge, will deviate from the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will get away from the sunnah. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ And the Prophet said, well, if you were at that time, you don't take everything these people say, you take some of what they say, and you reject others, other sayings of theirs. I asked, then I said, yeah. Then I asked, will there be evil after this goodness? You could see his line of questioning. The Prophet said, yes, there will be callers to the gates of hellfire. يَكُونُ دُعَاتٌ عَلَىٰ أَبْوَابِ جَهَنَّمْ There will be callers to the gates of hellfire. Whoever responds to them, means whoever follows them, just goes along with them, will be thrown into hellfire. There will be rules deviating from what I brought. And whoever follows them will go into hellfire. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us in the future, there will be people who will lead people into hellfire. They will call them to beliefs and practices that lead the person who follow them to fall into hellfire. Then I said, Hudhayfa said, then I said, O Messenger of Allah, describe these callers for us, those who call people to the gates of hellfire. Describe them for us. The Prophet alayhi salam said, they will be people from our own skin, أُنَاسٌ مِّن جِلْدَتِنَا speaking our language, يَتَكَلَّمُونَ بِأَلْسِنَتِنَا يُخَاطِبُونَ النَّاسِ بِلُغَتِنَا I asked, what would I do if I was alive at that time? So Hudhayfa asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, if such people show up while I'm still alive, what should I do? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, you stick to the jama'ah and their ruler. You stick to the jama'ah and their ruler. It means stick to the belief of the majority of the Muslims. Jama'ah here means the majority of the Muslims. Stick to the Jama'ah means stick to the belief carried, held by the majority of the Muslims, because it will be correct. The majority of the Muslims will not be misguided in creed. They will be following the right creed. So if you follow what the majority of the Muslims are believing at that time, you will be fine. Show obedience to the caliph, because he told him what? You stick to the jama'ah and their ruler, to the caliph. So he told him, show obedience to the caliph. Even if he does sins, even if the caliph commits sins, still do not rebel against him. Still do not rebel against him and kill him. So do not rebel and do not kill him. Just do not obey him in a sin. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام gave him the meaning of his statement, stick to Jama'ah and their ruler, is what I just told you afterwards. That means that follow the creed of the majority of the Muslims and obey the caliph. Do not rebel against him, even if he commits sin. The Prophet said not to rebel against the caliph unless, unfortunately, he commits kufr. And we haven't, you know, alhamdulillah, heard of a caliph that committed kufr. But the Prophet said, as long as they pray and they are not blasphemers, they are Muslim, do not rebel against them. Keep your obedience to them. But if they order you to commit a sin, don't listen to them. Because the Prophet said, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There is no obedience to a creation at the expense of disobeying the Creator. The Prophet continued to give him the advice. If the Muslims do not have a ruler, if the Muslims don't have a caliph, do we have a caliph nowadays? So the time has come. Then you isolate yourself away from all the deviant groups. Even if it comes to the extent of biting on the root of a tree until death comes to you while doing so, means keep on following the true path. وَلَوْ أَنْ تَعَضَّ قَلْ اِعْتَزِلْ تِلْكَ الْفِرْقَ كُلَّهَا اِعْتَزِلْ تِلْكَ الْفِرَقَ كُلَّهَا وَلَوْ أَنْ تَعَضَّ عَلَىٰ أَصْلِ شَجَرَةً حَتَّى تَمُوتَ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ. So the Prophet said, if the Muslims did not have a ruler, then you isolate yourself from those deviant groups, even if you stay by yourself biting on the root of a tree, and you die doing so. Meaning, even if you are by yourself following the true path, do not do otherwise. Stay on that true path and do not follow the deviant groups. Also, Imam Muslim narrated that Hudhaifa said, we were with Umar. We were with Umar. And Umar asked the people, which one of you memorized the hadith of the Prophet about fitna? Which among you memorized the Prophet said something about a fitna that will happen? Who among you memorized it? Means tell us about it. Fitna means tribulation, means a test or bad thing that may happen to people. Hudhaifa said, I did. I memorized it. Umar said, you are bold. Means you are courageous. What did the Prophet say? I said, I heard the Messenger of Allah say. So Hudhaifa is telling Umar, I heard the Messenger of Allah say, the fitna of the person in his family, money, self, and neighbor will be wiped out by fasting, praying, paying charity, ordering ma'ruf, and forbidding munkar. So Hudhaifa, when Umar asked who memorized the hadith of the Prophet about fitna, he said that. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah say that when there is fitna in the house of the person, in his family, in his money, himself, neighbors, this fitna will be wiped out by fasting, by doing the fasting, by praying, by paying charity, ordering ma'ruf, ordering people to obey Allah, and forbidding munkar, forbidding people to disobey Allah. Umar said, not this fitna, I'm not talking about this fitna, not this fitna, another kind. I'm referring to the one that will be widespread. It moves like the waves of the sea. The Prophet mentioned it as such. I asked, so Hudhaifa said, I asked, what do you want to know about this? There is a closed door between you and it. So Hudhaifa told Umar, asked Umar, what do you want to know about such widespread fitna? There is a door closed between the fitna and you, or between you and the fitna. Umar asked, will this door be broken or opened? This door that prevents the fitna from spreading, will it be opened or will it be broken? The people asked me, Hudhaifa said, the people asked me, does Umar know who the door is? Does Umar know who the door is? I said, remember, I here is Hudhaifa. Yes, he knows who it is. Just like he knows before the day there is night. Means he has no doubt about it. Whatever I told Umar is true. I did not tell him false stories. The people who were sitting, listening to this dialogue, did not have the courage to ask, which person is the door? But they got one man named Masruq to ask. Sometimes, you know, people wouldn't dare to ask questions. They send someone else to ask for them. So these people sent a man called Masruq to ask. To ask whom? Hudhaifa, because he mentioned the door. I told Masruq that it was Umar. So the door was Umar. Hudhaifa did not tell Umar to his face, you are the door. He was polite. What is meant by his saying, you are the door and that will be broken, is you, Umar, will be killed. And then there will be tribulations. Once Umar is killed, then tribulations will start. It was true. As long as Umar was alive, there was no tribulation. There were no tribulations. After he died, they appeared. So this is the first companion that would succeed An-Nu'man if he was killed in commanding the army of the Muslims. The second companion, in case Hudhaifa was killed, to become the commander of the army, was the great companion Jarir ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah. And this Jarir was from the tribe of Bujaylah. That's why they call him Al-Bajali, Jarir ibn al-Bajali. Jarir was the son of Abdullah from the tribe of Bujaylah. Of course, a companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So he would have been named second in command if An-Nu'man were killed. This great companion Jarir, radiyallahu anh, said, since I became a Muslim, the Prophet never placed a barrier between me and him. And he always smiled at me. Lucky man. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar said about Jarir, here's our testimonials about the greatness of this companion. Jarir was the Yusuf of our nation. Jarir was the Yusuf, Joseph, of our nation. Means he was very handsome. It was said that he was 6 cubits tall, 9 feet. He was very tall. Jarir, radiallahu anhu, played a great role in the battle of Qadisiyah. Remember the great battle. After which he lived in the Kufa area, in that city that was established during the time of Umar. Anas ibn Malik, who is Anas ibn Malik? The companion who served the Prophet from the age 10 until the age 20. Anas ibn Malik related that Jarir used to serve me, although he was older than me. Anas, who served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, Jarir used to serve me, although he was older than me. So you could see how great these companions were, how humble they were. Later, when Ali, radiallahu anhu, had a conflict with Muawiyah, Jarir did not side with either. He did not go with Muawiyah. He did not go with Ali. He went to live in an area called Qirqisya or Kirkisya, bilkaf or bilqaf. Qirqisya. And this area, Qirqisya, was on the Tigris River, Nahru Dijla in Iraq. And he died in that area in the year either 51 or 54. It is close to Syria, but in Iraq. He narrated the hadith. Everybody, I think, who studied As-Sirat, has been attending classes, know the hadith. Man sanna fil Islami sunnatan hasana. Okay? Jarir was the one who narrated this hadith. He narrated the hadith, the one who innovates a good innovation in Islam has its reward, and a reward similar to the reward of those who follow him in this innovation until the day of judgment without lessening their reward. So if a person brought up something which is good, that nobody had before, he gets reward for bringing it, and then he gets reward similar to the reward of everyone who practiced it until the day of judgment. For example, those Muslims who came up with putting dots on the letters, the Arabic letters, under or above, and then we have them in our Quran, for example, they have reward. This is bid'ah. This is a new innovation. It was not done during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or even during the time of Abu Bakr or Umar. So these, how much benefit they have passed on to the Muslims since those days. So for hundreds of years, these people are getting reward every time somebody, you know, benefits from that innovation. And he said also, the hadith of the Prophet, continuation, the one who innovates an innovation of misguidance is sinful for this innovation and has sins similar to the sins of those who follow him in it until the day of judgment without lessening their sins. So this is just a short account about these two great companions who were named to succeed An-Nu'man in commanding the army. An-Nu'man said, if I die, if I was killed, Hudhaifa will be your commander. If Hudhaifa was killed, then Jarir will be your commander. And you just have an idea why they were chosen to command the Muslims in such an important matter. Now we need to go back to the battle. This was just a digression. So, An-Nu'man said he's going to say Allahu Akbar how many times? 3 times. So he made his 3 takbirs, and then the army charged the enemy. The battle did not take long time, means it hadn't started for a long time, when An-Nu'man was killed. His brother, who was present in the battle, saw him being killed. He wrapped him so that people would not see him. This is the commander being killed in front. The soldiers, it's better for the soldiers not to see him. So this brother then took the army flag and gave it to the next in command, Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu. And he told him that his brother An-Nu'man was killed. From that point on, the Muslim army fought until victory. Nahawand, this area in Iran, was opened. After this great defeat, the Persians could not mobilize a great army against the Muslims. If they wanted to fight the Muslims, it would be small, you know, skirmishes here and there. So the Muslim commander sent someone to our master Umar in Medina to give him the news. Umar radiallahu anhu talked with this messenger, this person. He said, what news do you have for me? The man said, good news. Allah granted you, Umar, a great victory with the opening of that part of Persia. And An-Nu'man was martyred in that battle. When Umar heard that news, he was sad. And he said, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong, and to Allah we will return. What does this mean? It means that Allah owns everything. We are one group of creations that Allah owns. So we belong to Allah. We are His property. He created us. And to Allah we will return. It means Allah will resurrect us after we die. Our souls will come back to our bodies. We will stand up on the day of judgment to be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This statement is mentioned in Al-Quran, that when the Muslims are hit with difficulty, they say that Allah praise the Muslims who are patient with calamities, that they say, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So instead of saying the bad words that you people hear when somebody get, you know, a bad thing, maybe they, you know, cut their finger, or they fell, or they lost money. You hear people saying the S and the F words. Muslims do not do that. Muslims know that whatever hardship hit them, it happened by the will of Allah. And we are Muslims. We resign to the will of Allah. Whatever Allah will for us, we accept. And we do our obligations and avoid our sins. So this is a good statement, a rewardable statement to say when such things happen to us. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah and we will be resurrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar cried greatly when he heard the news of An-Nu'man's death. until he was sobbing. Until he was sobbing. Imagine Umar, the rough guy, the person who people fear, when he hears the death of one of his friends, his companions, he cry and he sobs. This man who carried the news wanted to relieve Umar from that sadness. He wanted to reduce that sadness. So he improvised. He said, "Oh, I swear by Allah, no one who is famous was killed after An-Nu'man." He said, "I swear by Allah, no one who is famous was killed after An-Nu'man." Means there is no one whom you know or other people know that were killed. Only An-Nu'man. Like, don't feel more sad. Just only one famous person. No one person that you know was killed. To that, Umar had a profound statement. He said, "What would they, these people who were killed, and you say they're not famous, nobody knows them, what would they do with Umar, the son of Umar's mother?" Umar ibn Ummi Umar, that's what he said. "What would they do with Umar, the son of Umar's mother, knowing about them?" It means, what harm would reach them if Umar did not know about them? There's no harm. Allah knows them. Allah knows those Muslims who were martyred in the battle. And He honored them by granting them martyrdom. They don't need me. They don't need that I know them. Allah knows them. So our most master Umar eloquently stated that those martyrs were honorable without them needing Umar to know them. One Muslim has a higher status than the Kaaba. One Muslim is more important, has a higher status than Al-Kaaba. Umar cared about all the Muslim fighters, even if he did not know them. In the year 22 Hijri, additional Persian lands were opened and other areas to the west. One of them is called Dinawar, Azerbaijan, Hamadan, Tripoli of Libya, Arri, and other lands were open. So Muslims were going west in Africa, and they were going also north towards, you know, Iran, Afghanistan, and so on. All these lands were falling under the control of the Muslims in the year 22. In the next year, the 23rd year of Hijrah, more lands were opened in Persia, like Sijistan. You hear of Abu Dawood as Sijistani. Sijistan, Makran, Asbahan, Abu Shuja' al-Asbahani, Abu Nu'aym al-Asbahani, and Karaman. All these areas were also opened by the Muslims. Now, Yazdajard, the king, the Persian king, the Kisra, was, as we said, was running away. He was defeated, you know, very decisively in an area called Marwurraud. Marwurraud. You may have heard of some scholars called Al-Marwizi from that area. He sent messages, this Yazdajard, the Persian king, he sent messages to the Chinese king, to the king of China. And he, in his message, described the Muslims. And he was asking for the help of the Chinese king. So the Chinese king wrote him back, saying, "If those people are as you describe, then you should have a peace treaty with them and pay jizya to them, for they would always be victorious." So the Chinese didn't want to get involved. Yazdajard took his soldiers to another place called Azdashir, where he was again defeated during the caliphate of Uthman, in the year 31 Hijri. As Dajjal ran away, he went into a man's house. When he was asleep, that man killed him, threw his body in the water, and that was the end of the Persian kingdom. And by that, another miracle of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was evidenced. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam said, Allah would tear apart their dynasty, and the Kisra and the Sassanid Persian dynasties became extinct. They never recovered. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. Inshallah, next week we'll continue to say more about this great man, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Barakallahu fikum. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.